Hi, friends. happy Sunday. It's good to see all of you all. I just crawled out of bed, so I took my first nap since I've lived here in Pueblo, and I'm a little groggy, so I guess we're going to find out if Holy Spirit can truly speak through someone who has no mind, because I don't right now. But it's good to see you all. A lot of people in the room. That's nice. It's nice. And I'm sure you guys just had a great experience with Carmen. What I'm going to do is give you a link, to a post. I remember last week what we were looking at was, posts by me that were about some of my experiences in awakening. They included some messages from Holy Spirit, but it wasn't just messages from Holy Spirit. I remember we looked at a message, an experience I had of forgiving guilt, which was an experience of forgiving a teacher who told a lie. I remember we had an experience of forgiving fear, and then there was also an experience of forgiving unworthiness. And it looks like we're going to be kind of continuing that kind of thing. The next teaching that I pulled up is one called Looking at My Thoughts. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so I don't know what it is, but it looks like it's going to be continuing along that same vein. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go into Holy Spirit, tune in there, and then we'll just start reading this message and see what's in it that is helpful. So here we go. Holy Spirit, first of all, what I am feeling is to thank you for guidance. I feel very quiet now, very still, as if I'm standing in the middle of the desert, standing someplace completely secluded. It's odd because there are people here in the house around me. There are a lot of people in the room, but I have a feeling of seclusion right now and a feeling of being alone with you. So I'm going to accept that feeling, Holy Spirit, and I'm going to ask you to take it away. Teach us what you would have us learn. Thank you. Amen. I'm also going to open the door and let Jamie out. She's pacing back and forth. She also just got up from her nap, so I think she wants to go outside and pee. Hold on one second. Looks like while I was sleeping, Bill Free might have fixed my doorknob, because usually when we open the doorknob to let Jamie out, it comes off in our hand, and it felt pretty steady in my hand. Are you around, Bill Free? Somewhere. Yep, there he is. Thank you for fixing the doorknob. Okay, I've given you all a link to the posting. I'm going to call it the posting, because I don't think it's a message from Spirit. I have no idea what it is. It's me exposing something. So let's go see what I did. Looking at my thoughts. I said, hello, friends. Receiving the Holy Spirit's interpretation of Philippians 3 was very helpful to me. As I received those words, I went into my mind as the words suggest. By the way, for those of you who don't know, NTI Philippians 3 is a meditation where we go within and we look at the feelings that are in the mind, the ego feelings that are in the mind. We kind of take an inventory of what the mind is saying just at the level of feelings. And then we go beyond that through a door, through a wall, where we go into the inner chamber of the heart. And we look at what is there, the light that is there. So I'm saying on this particular day, as I received those words, I went into my mind as the words suggest. I was able to see myself as a mind, separate from the body and the world. And I could see feelings, guilt, fear, etc., existed in my mind without any specific cause in the world. It is hard to put into words, but I saw it so clearly. It is what you might call convincing evidence. Before this meditation, before I had this experience of this meditation while writing it down, I probably more firmly believed that if I was mad, it was because of something that you or somebody else did, that it was because of something in the world, that I was upset because you did something. After this meditation, I saw that was not true. I saw that upset was just in the mind without a cause in the world, that upset was just in the mind, and that what the mind did was it looked for things in the world, it looked for stories in the world to project itself onto. And that was a different experience for me. It kind of turned things around, I guess you could say, because now I could not truly believe anymore that I was upset because of you. I knew that the upset was in the mind, and I was using you to keep my upset, to validate it, to hold on to it. I'm going to go ahead and continue reading. Then, as we went through the wall, which again is a part of the meditation in Philippians chapter 3, which for me was a wall of personal unworthiness, and entered the room of light, I felt the feelings of light. What I understood through this experience is that I let my mind focus subtly on the feelings outside the wall more than the feelings inside the wall. And so experiences that prove the feelings on the outside continue to come into awareness. What I'm saying here is that this meditation lets you see what A Course in Miracles would call the split mind. This meditation lets you see the ego, and then you walk through a wall that the ego has built. And when you walk through the wall, you see the light, which is on the other side of the wall. And you become very aware that both are there. And then you become very aware that the reason you experience the world you're experiencing is because your attention is on the outside of the wall, which would be the ego. Your attention is there. Because your attention is there, that is your experience. So again, that's what I'm saying here, that what I understood through this experience is that I let my mind focus subtly, I can't say that word, but I think you guys are following me. I let my mind focus subtly on the feelings outside the wall more than the feelings inside the wall. And so experiences that prove the feelings on the outside continue to come into awareness. I saw that if I watch my mind more carefully, by letting go of thoughts that support the outside feelings and train my mind to focus more on the inside feelings, experiences that match those feelings will be drawn into experience. I saw that as mind shifts, experience shifts also. This is reminding me right now of something very simple that we read in NTI Luke chapter 4 this week. In NTI Luke chapter 4, there's a teaching that Holy Spirit gives us. I'm going to say at a point where we are still quite screwed up. NTI Luke is really for the mind that has not gone through a lot of forgiveness yet. The mind that still strongly believes in its unworthiness, still strongly believes the experiences of the world are the cause of the upset. And NTI Luke is the beginning of the undoing of this mind. And in NTI Luke 4, which of course is the beginning of NTI Luke, the Holy Spirit gives us an exercise. The Holy Spirit tells us to watch our mind for what he calls the symptoms of sickness. But that would be things like my grievance against you, for example, if I have a grievance against you. Or that would be things like my worry about how things are in the world, or how things are in my life. And Holy Spirit says to watch our mind for these symptoms of the sickness, and that when we notice that our mind is now focused on grievance, focused on worry, focused on self-judgment, for example. To simply say, I know that I am sick. I can tell from these thoughts in my mind that I am sick. But I have decided to be healed. And then he asks us to begin to focus on our willingness to be healed. Remember that we have decided to be healed and focus on our willingness to be healed. And to trust that willingness. Now that's a very, very simple request from the Holy Spirit. And in fact, if I have my NTI, let me just pull it out and tell you right where this is. Right where this is in NTI. It's in NTI, Luke chapter 4. I'm going to give you the page number. If you have a pencil nearby or a pen nearby, you might actually want to write this down. Luke chapter 4, page 133. It's the very, very top of page 133. Oh, look, Barb beat me to it. Yeah, the very, very top of page 133. He says, acknowledge that you are sick. Remember you have decided to be healed. Turn away from the voice of sickness. Give all of your attention to your willingness to be healed. Trust in your willingness. Now that's simple. I mean, it doesn't take up much space on the page. But what Holy Spirit is doing in this little simple practice is teaching us to shift our focus. Remember, I said in this little write-up here that in NTI Philippians 3, as I did that meditation, what I realized is my mind was usually focused on the feelings on the outside of the wall, which would be the ego part of the mind. And I realized that I was seeing the world, that I was having experiences that were based on that focus. But I also realized that the light was in the mind too, and that if I would shift my attention, shift my focus to the light, that I would have different experiences, that I would see the world differently. Well, this is what Holy Spirit is doing in this simple little practice. This simple little practice that is given to the unhealed mind. He's asking us, A, acknowledge that we're sick. Remember that we've decided to be healed. Turn away from the voice of sickness. Give all of our attention to our willingness to be healed. And trust in our willingness. He has just shifted our attention. He shifted our attention away from the grievance, or away from the worry, or away from the self-judgment, to our willingness. To our willingness to be healed. And that comes from the light. And as he shifts our attention, as we allow him to shift our attention from the ego to our willingness. He is leading us to change the filter through which we see. And also I'm going to say change the manifesting process so that instead of manifesting experience through the ego, we are now allowing a manifestation of experience through the purpose of healing. We begin to see things through the purpose of healing. Thank you, Debbie. Let's go back to what I wrote on this day in May. I said, again, as the mind shifts, experience shifts also. And then I said, this meditation reminded me very much of the attraction of guilt section in chapter 19 of A Course in Miracles. We experience that which we seek, but we are not always aware of what we seek. Now, the attraction of guilt section in A Course in Miracles is very interesting. Many of you will remember this section. This is the section where we have the hungry dogs of fear. Those beautiful hungry dogs of fear that we send out, in search of guilt. And I don't remember all of the beautiful, ravenous words that are used, but there's a gray and white and black picture painted there. And one day I was reading the attraction to guilt section. And I was actually feeling very, very guilty for my hungry dogs of fear that I send out in search of shreds of guilt to bring back to me so that I can devour, you know, whatever those words say. And what I didn't realize was happening as I was reading the attraction to guilt section is that I was once again focusing on the ego. Remember, I was feeling guilty as I was reading the attraction to guilt section. So I was focused on the ego. I was focused on how awful I am, self-judgment. And Holy Spirit asked me to do something. Holy Spirit asked me to go to the top of that section in A Course in Miracles, which is called The Attraction to Guilt, and to cross out the title, literally in my copy. Oh, look, and it's laying right here. I never have the course downstairs. This is a miracle. I always have the course upstairs. The fact that it's laying here at my feet is pretty amazing. Here we go. A Course in Miracles is laying here at my feet. Don't ask me what it's doing there. Not even on a table or a bookshelf, but laying right at my feet. But that allows me to open it up and open up to the attraction to guilt section. It'll take me a moment to find that too. If anybody knows that page number, feel free to write it in for me. Or even the chapter would be helpful. The attraction to guilt. Where is that? But Holy Spirit asked me to go up and change the title at the top of the page to the attraction to love. Bill, don't... Huh? I dropped the mic? Oh, I was going to say, I have it. Thank you, Barb. Page 410. She's my page number lady. I knew it was 4-something. I could feel that. So let's go to 410. Okay, so yeah, in my book, it says The Attraction of Love. Holy Spirit had me change the title, The Attraction of Love. And what was so amazing when I changed the title of the section was I began to read the section differently. In fact, here's how the section began to read to me after I changed the title. Love's messengers are gently sent and return with messages of love and gentleness. You know, these types of sentences began to jump out at me. The Holy Spirit has given you love's messengers to send instead of those you train through fear. They are as eager to return to you what they hold dear as are the others. If you send them forth, they will see only the blameless and the beautiful, the gentle and the kind. They will be as careful to let no little act of charity, no tiny expression of forgiveness, no little breath of love escape their notice. And they will return with all the happy things they found to share them lovingly with you. Be not afraid of them. They offer you salvation. Theirs are the messages of safety, for they see the world as kind. It is so amazing that when the title of this section was The Attraction of Guilt, I only saw the words about these vicious, hungry dogs that went out looking, you know, not letting any little shred of guilt escape their hungry eyes. And, you know, and when I changed the title to The Attraction of Love, the other option jumped out. The other choice that I have jumped out. And you know, what's amazing here is all we're talking about is a change in focus. Where am I choosing to let my mind dwell? Am I choosing to let my mind dwell on grievance? Or am I choosing to let my mind dwell on my willingness to be healed? So again, this meditation from NTI Philippians chapter 3 reminded me of this attraction of guilt section in A Course in Miracles. We experience that which we seek, but we are not always aware of what we seek. This is where we need to pay more attention. We need to pay more attention to what we are doing with our mind. Then I continued to write. Anyway, it was very helpful to me because there is a grievance in my mind that has been very difficult for me for many months now. And Debbie, if you're listening, this was the grievance I told you it took 9 months for me to let go of. So we're about to talk about how I healed that grievance, or how that grievance was healed. It was very helpful to me because there is a grievance in my mind that has been very difficult for me for many months now. I have given a lot of willingness to this particular grievance, but it seems to always be there without fail. And I remember this grievance quite well. I wanted very much to be free of it because I was imprisoned by this grievance. But I couldn't. I mean, I just couldn't, it seemed like. I would let go of the thoughts. The thoughts about this person would come into my mind and literally torture me. And I would let go of them out of complete willingness to let go. And in 30 seconds or less, they would be right back. And this went on for, like I said, 9 months. I just couldn't let go of my mind going on and on and on about how this person had wronged me. So I have given a lot of willingness to this particular grievance, but it seems to always be there without fail. I knew that this was because I didn't understand what I was forgiving. Oh, here we go, Bill. So now we're getting into what I talked about last night, that it's always helpful to me to know what I am forgiving. I knew that this was because I didn't understand what I was forgiving. The thought that spawned the experience and the grievance hadn't been discovered within my own mind yet. Then a couple of days ago, I happened to be talking on the phone with a person who also had a grievance, seemingly against the same person that I had a grievance with. And this person also seemed stuck. So, not talking about Teddy, but you know what, Lee? The person I was on the phone with was you. So you and I were sharing a grievance at the time. Uh-oh. So I was talking to Lee on the phone, who also seemed stuck. We both had a grievance. And again, unable to get past it. And so we talked freely about our feelings. And one thing that's important about what Lee and I were doing that day is we were not gossiping. We were not feeding our grievance. What Lee and I were doing was each talking about how we were stuck, but we were doing it in complete willingness to let it go. So we were not gossiping or feeding our grievance. We were sharing our desire to be healed is what we were doing. But we talked freely. We were exposing exactly what was in our mind. We were not hiding our thoughts. So as we talked freely about our feelings and our desire to let go of this grievance with healing as our purpose, I heard myself say, "I feel betrayed by him." I had never hit on that word before, betrayed. But when I heard it come out of my mouth, I knew I had found the missing key that I was looking for. And this was actually, for me, the experience of a miracle. I'm going to say, recognizing that the problem was that I felt betrayed by this person, this was like a miracle. It was a miracle. And in fact, what I said was, and notice I'm saying, even speaking of it now, I said, this is later, I'm skipping down. I say, I can feel how deep this feeling and belief goes. But let me skip back up. I said, I had never hit on that word before. Betrayed. But when I heard it come out of my mouth, I knew I had found the missing key that I was looking for. I began to look back over my life, and I could see a long chain of betrayals that went all the way back to friendships in the fifth grade. And I want to tell you, this was not an effort. It's not like my thinking mind was trying to remember all of the betrayals. This was something that seemed to happen instantaneously. Instantaneously, I was looking back over my life, and I saw a long chain of betrayals that went all the way back to friendships in the fifth grade. I literally remembered the first time in this lifetime that I ever felt betrayed. It just came back into my mind in an instant. There was a consistent pattern that played out over and over in my lifetime. There were people that I had expected to behave according to specific rules. Friend rules, coworker rules, boyfriend rules, or teacher of God rules. And when the people did not behave according to those expectations, which I seemed to uphold within them, with them, I felt betrayed. So in fifth grade, there were some girls that literally asked me to be their friend. I remember they came up and asked me to be their friend. And I agreed. And I thought that once someone asked you to be your friend and you agreed, that there was this commitment to play together, to be nice together, to enjoy each other. And these same girls, only a couple of weeks later, suddenly decided, for a day, not to be my friend. And they turned their backs to me, and I felt betrayed. And then there was a boyfriend, right, who cheated on me, who had another girl one night, and I felt betrayed. And then there was the employer who, we agreed to a specific process that we were going to unroll in the company. And then the employer made another agreement with her boss and forgot to tell me, and I unrolled the wrong process, and I felt betrayed. And then there was this teacher of God that I had trusted to help me look at my mind, and instead, the teacher of God seemed to betray me. He did not help. But in each of these situations, and in many more, what had happened was that I had defined the relationship. I had said, this is a friend, or this is a boyfriend, or this is my teacher. And I had said, this is how a friend must act. This is how a boyfriend must act. This is how my teacher must be. And when they didn't live up to my expectations, I felt betrayed. But what I saw as I looked at this on the phone with Lee, what I saw is that this was all in my mind. Now, this was the miracle. I saw that the entire setup was in my mind. And in fact, let me go back to reading the message. The post that I made. I began to look back over my life, and I could see a long chain of betrayals that went all the way back to friendships in the fifth grade. There was a consistent pattern that played out over and over in my lifetime. There were people that I had expected to behave according to specific rules, friend rules, coworker rules, boyfriend rules, or teacher of God rules. And when the people did not behave according to those expectations, which I seemed to uphold with them, I followed the rules in my mind. Then I felt betrayed. Even speaking of it now, I can feel how deep this feeling and belief goes. This is an important one for me. And as I'm writing this, this is only 2 days after I discovered it. And it was 2 days after I was on the phone with Lee. The belief in betrayal is in my mind. Based on the metaphysics of the Course, it is there because I believe I have betrayed God. This is the metaphysics of the Course. It is a false belief, since we have not betrayed God, and my right mind is very clear on that. But my wrong mind still holds to this belief. And by the way, my wrong mind does not, or I do not, maybe I do not believe my wrong mind anymore. I do not hold to this belief now, and if this story doesn't completely unfold in this write-up, I will finish the story for you. As I mentioned, this happened, I'm writing this 2 days after I was on the phone with Lee, 2 days after I saw, miraculously, that really, betrayal was not in the world. Really, the belief in betrayal was in my mind, and that because the belief was in my mind, I sought out situations in the world to make it seem real. That I was placing the meaning of betrayal on situations. Now, I know that this is all taught in the Course. I know that the workbook says, you know, that I have invented the world I see. I know that the workbook teaches us that everything that we see is meaningless and that we give it all the meaning it has for us. I know that. But when I learned that intellectually. And this experience of seeing the truth of that in my mind was a miracle, because it changed everything. It wasn't intellectual knowledge anymore. I really got it, that I'm the one that's calling this a betrayal, and then I'm suffering. I really got that for the first time. So let me go back to reading. I can see how there has been a chain of thought in my mind all of my life that seemed to focus on the most recent betrayal. So what I'm talking about here then is in fifth grade, when those girls decided not to be my friend after they had asked me to be their friend, I decided that was a betrayal. And I carried that betrayal forward for years. And in fact, one thing that I did was I stopped trusting girls. I began to be friends with boys because I thought they were more trustworthy than girls. And I carried that forward for many, many years, always remembering that girls will betray you. You know, it's reminding me of another thing that Holy Spirit gave me in April of 2006. I know you guys have heard of this. What I think, I see. What I see, I experience. And what I experience, I think. So the idea of betrayal was in the mind first. And then there was this story with the girls. My mind said, ah, betrayal. What I think, I see. I saw a betrayal there. And then for years, I carried that betrayal with me. What I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think. For years, I carried that betrayal with me until there was another betrayal, the boyfriend that slept with another girl one night. And then I didn't need to focus so much on the girls from fifth grade, because now I had this new betrayal. This new betrayal to carry around. And I was able to carry it until the next betrayal. And then I carried it around. But for most of my life, I carried this betrayal. One story after another story after another story, but I carried it, certain that I was betrayed. So I can see how there has been a chain of thought in my mind all of my life that seemed to focus on the most recent betrayal. It never seemed to focus on it with hatred, which is why it was subtle and did not stand out in my mind. It focused on it in confusion. And I would say that is true in my mind. I didn't hate those girls in fifth grade. I did not understand why they would do that. You know, I did not hate the boyfriend that cheated. I just did not understand why he would do that. There was this confusion, which, believe it or not, made the grievance tolerable to my ego mind. It allowed me to carry it for years upon years upon years. I never felt that I understood why so-and-so would do such-and-such. And I see now that I felt like the victim of the betrayal, which of course is a classic projection. Making this discovery after receiving Philippians 3 is key, because I can see that I brought the experience of betrayal into my life because the belief was in my mind and thought about consistently. It still is. I think about this most recent experience daily, not with seeming fervor, which is why I hadn't caught it, but subtly, that word I can't say again. It is always there every day. And by that I mean the grievance against this person, this teacher that I felt hurt by, the grievance was very strong, but the idea of betrayal had been very subtle. So I hadn't seen what was fueling the grievance. And I also see that the expectations that I had of others, which I felt I had lived up to myself, were simply a setup for the other person in order to enable them to betray me. After all, they could not betray me if I didn't have any expectations that I held them to. So now I see that I do not need to forgive this person that I have not been able to forgive. I need to forgive the belief in betrayal that exists in the mind. If I continue to allow this belief within the mind, the experience of betrayal will continue to play out in Regina's life. But when the belief is released, the experience will no longer come into awareness. It cannot, because we cannot be aware of anything unless it is a thought in the mind first. That is so important. If the thought of betrayal had never existed in my mind, I would never have seen a betrayal. Those girls, when they asked me to be their friend and then decided a couple of weeks later not to be my friend, if the idea of betrayal had not already been in my mind, that experience would have been seen differently. So the problem was never the girls or the teacher or the boyfriend. The problem that was causing me pain was the belief. And it looks like, at least here, I don't finish the story, so I will go ahead and finish the story for you. I'll tell you that what happened after that wonderful day on the phone with Lee is that I began to feel the belief of betrayal, almost like, I'll call it like an indigestion, like a lump in my chest, like a solid lump. I could feel it. And it began to rise. I could feel it getting higher in the chest, and then in the lower throat, I could feel it coming up. And I knew now what was happening. I knew it was coming up to be healed. And I had a magnificent experience, because I had an opportunity only about 2 weeks after this to be with that teacher again, that teacher that had been my most recent betrayal. And I decided I was going to talk to him about it. I decided I was going to tell him how I felt and tell him that I knew I was wrong. And a perfect opportunity arose where he and I were alone in a room very early in the morning. No one else was around. And there was this feeling of betrayal was now very high in my throat, ready to come up. And all of the emotions of probably all of the betrayals started coming up. And I was crying. And I was shaking. And I told him I needed to talk to him. And he said to me, "Wait, I want to check my email first." And the first thought that came into my mind was that he was doing it again. Because again, my expectation had been that he would help me, and he didn't. And here it was again. I'm sitting there, I'm crying, I'm shaking, I'm visibly upset. He and I are completely alone. And I asked him to help me, and he said he wanted to check his email. And he sat down in the same room as me with his back to me and checked email. And at first, the thought was, my God, he's doing it again. And then the next thought, I laughed. I realized that the appearance, it wasn't the man I needed to forgive. It was the belief in betrayal. And the appearance of the betrayal being there was so perfect, because I could just laugh it away. I could just laugh it away. I had a chance right now to believe it again or not. And I'm so thankful to him for checking his email. I could believe it again or not. And I remembered to laugh. Remember the tiny mad idea? It says, which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. Well, this time I remembered to laugh. I laughed. And I have been free of the belief in betrayal ever since. Completely free. So that is that story. It's a nice little story, isn't it? This is what, you know, it's kind of a continuation of last night, really, purification, because this was a purification story, purification of the belief in betrayal. And I know Teddy wrote something really big. Here we go. I'm going to read what Teddy says. I have no idea what it is, but I feel to read it. He says, most of the crap, yep, this is our Teddy, most of the crap people do and say comes from such a deep condition of being asleep and unconscious that you really can't take it personally. Most people have no clue what they are actually saying when they speak. If you make this stuff personal, like against you for a conscious reason on their part, you wind up killing yourself before you are 13. You sound a little like Eckhart Tolle there, Teddy. But you know, guys, this is what we have got to get if we want to wake up and be happy. We've got to get that everything that causes us pain is in our own mind, and there's not a single solitary exception to this rule. I offended Teddy. I'm sure I didn't by saying he was like Eckhart Tolle. He's joking. I hope not. But no, you did. You sounded like Eckhart there. And you know why you sounded like Eckhart, Teddy? Because when we speak truth, at some level, we all sound alike. Yeah, and calling to saying Eckhart Tolle says, always remember that 99% of the world is unconscious. And if we don't want to be a part of that 99%, then we need to be aware that the only thing that can hurt me is my mind, is what I am choosing to believe. There's not a single exception to this, not a single exception anywhere. And every time I am hurt, I have the opportunity to uncover one of these false beliefs. Yeah, but that's a harder one for me. Debbie said, even my tooth? I'll tell you what I would do, Debbie, with your toothache, is while I'm laying in bed with my tooth hurting, I would watch my mind. Because I bet you a dollar that your mind is not just on your tooth. So I would watch my mind. And I would accept the tooth as it is. I'd also watch my mind for the resistance to the tooth pain. Because one thing I've learned is that when I'm in pain, physical pain, if I resist the pain, it hurts more. If I accept the pain, somehow it hurts less. I'm going to let go of the mic, see if anybody wants to say anything. All right, then. I guess it's still my turn to talk. So we're continuing, it looks like, with stories of my purification. We had some last week. We had some last night. And now we're going to look at another one. Oh, here's a good one. You guys will like this. It's called Looking at Hatred as a Belief. How many people have never felt hatred? Never, ever, ever. Never, Cliff says. Of course, we all know Cliff's full of it. Never. Yeah, let's look at hatred. I don't know what this is. Again, I wrote this back in May 2006, so I have no idea what we're about to read. But here we go. Hello, my dear friends. The story I have to share today is an important one. It is important because it talks about a mistake that I made when learning forgiveness, a pit that I fell into for a little while. I think it is a common pitfall on the path of release. I share it gladly now so that anyone who has not yet discovered this slight misunderstanding may learn from my mistake and avoid repeating it yourself. Okay, where am I reading from? Clara asks. Right here's a link. It's from reginadonacres.com, and here's the link to the message if you want to read along. And right now I don't remember yet what the story is, but I'm sure it will come to me. Here we go. The story begins with sincerity. I really wanted to learn forgiveness. And having learned through the coat at the bus stop incident, which is a story I told last Sunday night, that I had denied my own sense of unworthiness, I was willing to uncover other denied beliefs. And that's important, by the way, to be willing to uncover your denied beliefs. A Course in Miracles teaches that we don't know what love is. And this is true. Do not misunderstand me. I am not here to teach that we do know what love is. But I am here to teach that through the ego, we can misunderstand what the Course is teaching us and believe we are practicing the Course when we are continuing to cling to the ego. As I was saying, the Course teaches that we don't know what love is. I felt that I loved my daughter. Above everything else, I loved her. That was my feeling. But as a sincere student of the Course, I was willing to discover that I was wrong. I was willing to discover that I did not know what love is. I turned my special relationship with Jasmine over to the Holy Spirit for healing. Well, I joke with people that this was when my sweet, very easy to get along with daughter turned into the devil itself. She had always been easy to raise, but suddenly she seemed to become very, very difficult. She seemed to attack me with kicks and hits of rage. She seemed to hang on me and not let me move freely about the house. And when I tried to get quiet with the Holy Spirit in order to forgive, she seemed to interrupt my quiet time. Jasmine became the obstacle to my peace. She seemed to be the greatest obstacle that stood between me and God. As this behavior came to me in the world, I began to come face to face with an undercurrent of hate within me. Yet I was afraid of it, so I did not look right at it. The exaggerated behavior continued, and the hatred within me continued to well up. Finally, I could not deny it anymore. I went to my journal and wrote this. And Zoe is asking, did this start at 7? The answer is yes, Zoe, at 7. For a few months now, so this is what I wrote in my personal journal. For a few months now, I've been feeling that Jasmine has become more difficult. She frequently treats me with extreme disrespect, and she has become very bossy. She often demonstrates her love by becoming physically controlling. She tries to restrain me from moving about the house like I want. I feel very impatient with her. I've also noticed that I feel a lot of rage, which is usually just under the surface, but I occasionally erupt and scream at her with intense hatred. Then she cries, I feel guilty, and I feel as if I have failed as a student of A Course in Miracles. This was not enough, I'm saying. This uncovering that I just shared from my journal was not enough. It was a beginning, but I was not yet getting in touch with my feelings. The extreme behavior continued. About 2 months later, I sat down and wrote this. So 2 months later, I'm now ready to look a little more directly at what's going on in my mind. I want the peace of God. This is from my journal again. I want the peace of God. And I feel that in the past 6 months, I have made great progress in my mind. But one challenge continues to stumble me. I've written about it before, but out of desire to bring it to the truth so that I can see it through the eyes of truth, I want to write about it again. I also want to be very careful to write as honestly as I can. I don't want to hide anything. I want to truly forgive and see this illusion for the nothingness that it is. Jasmine infuriates me. She's mean and hateful towards me. She keeps me from doing the things I want to do, and I feel absolutely enraged towards her. Sometimes I want to scream with the most ferocious roar I can muster. Sometimes I want to slap her across the face. Frequently I want her out of my sight, even out of my life. I don't feel like I love her anymore. At times, I even feel like I hate her. And I feel like it's all her fault. As you can see, I was beginning to look at denied hatred within the mind. I was beginning to look at something within me that needed healing. I just want to pause for a moment and say that this process of writing in my journal was very important. This process of writing in my journal was taking denied thoughts and ideas and putting them outside of me on paper so that I could look at them with the Holy Spirit. And to this day, when I feel stuck, I sit down and I write whatever thoughts are in my mind on paper. And I always get help from Holy Spirit. So this journaling process of being very, very honest as I can be, and putting it on paper, has always been extremely helpful to me in my healing process. So, I'm going to continue reading the posting. This story continues for a very long time and takes up a lot of pages in my journal. Through looking at the thought, "I hate my daughter," I was able to make a lot of purposeful discoveries within the mind. But here is where I made the mistake. Okay, so I'm writing to you about a mistake I made as a student of A Course in Miracles. And I say this is critical. I forgot to let go of the thought, "I hate my daughter." In accepting that I do not know what love is, I accidentally accepted the idea that what I really am is hate. Or what some Course students will do is accept the idea that as long as they are in a body, they are guilt. Or guilty, or the expression of guilt. They accept the idea that the face of innocence covered up the guilt. So they let go of the face of innocence, but then they accept the guilt as their truth. That's an error. And this is the same type of error I was making. Again, I wrote, "In accepting that I do not know what love is, I accidentally accepted the idea that what I really am is hate. Hate is my truth. I didn't even notice when this little thought slipped into my mind, but it did. My new belief became, I don't love Jasmine, I hate her. I had uncovered a belief in the mind, hatred, but I had not seen it as false. I uncovered this denied thought and then believed it as my truth. As you can imagine, things did not get better. I did not feel more peaceful. The struggles with Jasmine increased and intensified. I was no longer denying the hate in my mind. I was looking at it and believing it was my truth. Then, after a few months, a group of people came into my life via email. They seemed very angry and very confused about love. Attack was their primary method of teaching. They attacked every thought I shared with them, so that every feeling of defense, victimization, unworthiness, everything within the mind showed up very quickly. With my promise to be led by love, to the full and complete realization of self in mind, I decided to correspond with these people and use their emails to uncover hidden blocks to love in my mind. So these people were consciously attacking me, and I decided to go ahead and use that because I could tell that as they attacked, I could look at my reaction to their attack and find things in my mind that needed to be healed. So, and I only did this for a few weeks. This wasn't something I did long term. But at that time, temporarily, I felt it was helpful. So again, with my promise to be led by love to the full and complete realization of self in mind, I decided to correspond with these people and use their emails to uncover hidden blocks to love in my mind. Although corresponding with them was confusing and painful, with the purpose I put forth, it was useful. I was seeing my reactions to their emails and using that to forgive thoughts in my mind. The greatest gift that was given to me was by a female member of this group. She sent me an email in which she described how she perceived me. One of the perceptions that she shared was that she thought I was full of pride. She saw me as proud of my role at work, proud of my spiritual path, and proud of my daughter. I had different thoughts about each of these. I didn't feel that I was proud of my role at work. In fact, I felt ready to give it up, but Spirit was not encouraging me to make a change at that time. Work was a part of my schoolhouse, so I remained. I knew that I could sometimes be proud of my spiritual path. I could also let myself feel like a failure and have doubts about my spiritual path. I saw both of these perceptions as wrong-mindedness and among the thoughts in my mind that needed forgiveness. But most important to me was the thought I had when this woman wrote that she saw me as proud of my daughter. My thought was, that's not true. That is definitely just her perception. I hate my daughter. And then I saw it. I saw the thought that had just crossed my mind as if it was a fact. I hate my daughter. Ah, right there, I saw how my own wrong-mindedness had tricked me. Immediately upon discovering that belief, I let it go. There is no cruelty in God and none in me. Hatred within my mind is a false belief. How could I have believed that as a part of my spiritual path, I had to accept the fact that I hated anyone? Love does not hate. That is clear. That is the classic mistake that I made. I uncovered a denied false belief. But when I uncovered it, I did not see it as false. I saw it as real. So I did not forgive it. I kept it as if it was a part of me. Forgiveness is about uncovering what is denied, seeing that it is false, and letting it go. These false beliefs are not our truth. It is through letting them go that we discover our truth, which is love. We are love. Love is our truth. And then I wrote, granted, I am still learning what I am, so I am still learning what love is. But I do not hate my daughter or anyone. And when a smidgen of hatred seems to well up inside of me, I see it as false, let it go, and return to peace. I've learned to do it quickly. I see it, but I don't have to believe it. I see it, and I let it go. And I will tell you, the idea of hatred is now dead in my mind. The idea of hatred was not dead in my mind when I wrote that. I was learning to let it go when it came up, but the reason it continued to come up is because it was not dead. So I'd like to tell the rest of the story, which happened a couple of years later, so that I can tell you how the belief in hatred died, so that it does not come up. Again, it has to do with my dear sweet brother, Laurent. Thank God for Laurent, right? When Laurent and I were guided to join together, we had met, but we didn't really know each other. And when we were guided to join with each other, what happened was that he moved in with me. I'm sure you've heard me joke that our first date was 6 weeks long. He moved in with me. And what happened for Laurent and I pretty quickly is that we seemed to hate each other. I mean hate. I mean I don't remember hating anyone as much as I hated Laurent. And I could give you, you know, I could list for you the reasons that I hated him. And if he was sitting here, he could list for you the reasons that he hated me. Basically, you know, the gist of it is that we were culturally complete opposites. He was the opposite of everything I valued, and I was the opposite of everything he valued. And really, there was a lot of hatred there. And I will tell you that what happened for me is that the hatred was extremely uncomfortable. I didn't like the hatred. And so I began to ask for help. And Laurent also, we asked for help together. We asked for help together. And one of the answers that Holy Spirit gave us was through a message called The Code, which some of you might remember. But the gist of that message was very much like what I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think, but, you know, longer. more meat to chew on. What the code basically says is that the idea is in the mind first, which is what we've been talking about all night tonight. The idea is in the mind first. And because the idea is in the mind, then there will be an experience in the world that will give me the opportunity to believe the idea, such as, you know, this Frenchman coming to live with me. And if I accept the opportunity to believe the idea, believe that I hate the Frenchman, then I kind of send the signal of hate out into the universe, which means all of you guys get to share it with me. Yay! And then whatever I send out into the universe always comes back. Like an echo. So if I choose to believe, for now we'll say I hate Laurent. If I choose to believe I hate Laurent, or I hate that thing about Laurent, or he hates me, yep. If I choose to believe that, I send out that hate energy into the world, which helps to make the illusion that we see. And then it comes back home to me again. So every time I believe a hate thought, I receive a hate thought. So the only way, now remember I told you this feeling of hate was uncomfortable for me, and that's, you know, I mean really uncomfortable. I remember a couple times, both times happened to be in grocery stores, when the hatred for Laurent would come up so strong that I just wanted to run away. I was really uncomfortable with this feeling of hatred. And what I guess happened inside of me is I finally made a choice that A Course in Miracles talks about. A Course in Miracles tells us, of course, that to say I want the peace of God is nothing, to mean it is everything. And this feeling of hatred was so uncomfortable for me that I decided I wanted the peace of God for real. And it didn't even matter anymore if there seemed to be proof of my hatred right in front of me. For example, one of the little things, okay, that my mind told me I hated Laurent for. Laurent can be a slob. Laurent can leave things laying around everywhere all over a house. You know, Laurent can open drawers and not close them again. You know, leave things hanging out of the drawers. And my mind told me, you know, one of the reasons I hated Laurent is that he's a slob. He's a slob, okay? Now, you got to understand that to the ego, there's proof of this. His stuff's everywhere, okay? There's proof that he's a slob. And so if I wanted to listen to the ego, Every time the thought comes into my mind that I hate Laurent because he's a slob, I'm going to see it as true. I'm going to believe the hate thought. I'm going to feel the hate feelings. I'm going to send the hate energy into the world, and it's going to come back. Laurent's a slob. I'm going to see that it's true. I'm going to believe the hate thought. I'm going to feel the hate feelings. I'm going to send it out into the world, share it with all of you. It's going to come back. Laurent's a slob. I'm going to see it. I'm going to believe that it's true. You see, there's no end to this. There's no end to this. Unless I choose I want the peace of God more, really. And then what happens? Something different happens. I now have the education of the code. I know that if I believe this thought, I'm going to experience its effects, the feeling of hatred. I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts, so I'm going to share it with you, the world. Our beautiful illusion will display hatred, and then it's going to come back. And it's never going to stop unless I choose to stop. At some point, when that thought comes into the mind that I hate Laurent because he's a slob, even though I am standing in a filthy house, all thanks to him, with all of the proof in the world that this thought is true, if I want to be free of hate, I have to choose not to accept the thought. And I got to tell you, I was able to do that. And the reason is I was literally able to say, I want peace instead of this. This meaning this hatred. I could not take this hatred anymore. And I had the education of the code. I knew what would happen if I believed the thought again. And it's really funny because what Holy Spirit guided me to do during this period of time was to join a gym. And I didn't understand why I got the guidance to join a gym. I didn't understand it then, but later I did come to understand it. Because when all of this hate would seem to come at me, all of this hate that I had believed, and so it was coming back to be believed again, I would get the prompt to go to the gym. And I would go to the gym. And I would get on the treadmill, and although I have never been a jogger, I would jog. And I would look at those thoughts literally one by one. The thought would come into the mind, I hate Laurent because he's a slob. And I would, you know, say to myself, I see that thought, but I don't want to believe that thought. I set this thought go. I set this thought free. And then the next thought would come in. I hate Laurent because of blah, blah. And I would say, I see this thought, but I don't want this thought. I set this thought free. And I could jog for a long time doing that. But you know what? It worked. As I jog, somehow the act of jogging helped. I don't know why, but it did. As I jogged and I consciously looked at each and every one of those thoughts, and I consciously said, I see that thought, but I don't want that thought. I want the peace of God, and I let it go. What began to happen, what I noticed first, was I would say the rate of receiving hate thoughts began to slow. You know, and I don't know what the rate was. Let's say I was receiving, 1,000 thoughts an hour. 1,000 I hate Laurent thoughts an hour. That began to slow to 850. And I could notice the difference. And then that slowed to, as I continued this practice, it slowed to 600 I hate Laurent thoughts an hour. You know, and then it slowed to 400 I hate Laurent thoughts an hour. And I just kept practicing. And they started coming in at a slower rate because, of course, I'm accepting them less, right? I'm sending them out less, so they come back to me less, right? And pretty soon, hate died in me. Not just hate for Laurent, but hate itself. I don't believe in hate anymore. Just like I don't believe in betrayal or rejection anymore. I understand that hate is nothing but the emotional effect of believing thoughts, as Dove is writing, from the past. If I believed a hate thought, I felt the effects of it. I sent it out into the world to share with all of you, and then it came back to me. But it's just an effect of believing. That's all it is. It's just an effect of believing. And when I choose not to believe, I do not experience the effect. Now, someone asked, did Laurent learn to pick up his socks? And the answer is no. No, Laurent never learned to pick up his socks. Never. And Stephanie is telling you still today he does not pick up his socks. He is still a slob, isn't he, Stephanie? I learned to be happy is what happened. I learned to be happy. I learned to not hate. The socks, I mean, it just didn't matter anymore. So, a couple good stories tonight maybe, huh? Is it a mistake to ask him to pick up his socks? It could be, depending on your state of mind. It could be. You see, because it could be the belief that if Laurent would pick up his socks, I would be happy. And that's not true. I'm only going to be happy if I let go of these false beliefs in my mind. So, I guess what I want to say in closing is to please remember this one rule. And it is a rule. If I am upset about anything, it is because there is a false belief in my mind. And there's not a single solitary exception to that rule. So if I want to wake up as fast as possible, or if I want to get to peace as fast as possible, I will never, ever again believe I'm upset because of what someone else did. Because all that is a distraction from my own healing. I will always remember it's because of what's in my mind. And then I will ask Holy Spirit for help. And again, my practice is I write those thoughts down with Holy Spirit. I write down the thoughts. And somebody is saying that again is saying so difficult, only in the beginning. Because the truth is, once a few false beliefs are healed, and we see how, again, if you heal the false belief in betrayal, all betrayals in the past are forgiven, the current betrayal is forgiven, and betrayal can never happen again. It clears out a great big giant hallway in the mind and lets light shine through. When we see the benefit of that, we're then ready to practice true forgiveness again, the letting go of false beliefs. And as we've done it several times, there's a huge space that's cleared out in the mind where only happiness and peace is shining through. And then we are even more eager to find the specks of false belief that are left. We get on a roll. So thank you, everyone. It's been great talking to you. I'll see you Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Bye.